Good morning, everyone. There you can hear me now. Good, good. You could actually hear me without the mic, but Joe couldn't. Rest assured, I'm not preaching today, and I know y'all are very happy about that, but I will like to get everyone to stand up and greet each other because that's what we like to do at this time. Let's everybody rise and give everyone a handshake or a hug. Thank you. We have scripture today from John 10, verses 11 and verses 14. Verse 11 says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this day. Lord, just to be able to gather together and to lift your name up in praise. We love you so much. We pray for the service today. We pray that every word that John speaks will touch our hearts, that we'll be listening with the ears, our spiritual ears of our heart today, and take out so much so that when we walk out these doors, that we'll be able to be the liquid church that goes forth and passes this word along and the gospel along. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I get a little emotional on that song. I can, if you listen to the words and you think about it, it's all the people who've ever lived, died, and gone on to heaven, all those who are around us, who are going to heaven, all those who will ever go to heaven, around the throne of God, singing, holy, forever. Just a wonderful song. Now, after that, I've got a message. A lot of new folks here today. I'm glad of that because this is a message I did two and a half years ago or so. So those of you who were here probably don't remember it anyway. But it's a little challenge for us. Five words that will rock your world, okay? But before that, I want to talk about five Valentine's Day thoughts to sweeten up your life. Now, I don't know about you, but Valentine's Day was crazy yesterday. Had three weddings. Started at sunrise on the Isle of Palms, and I think it was 34 degrees. Then went on up to, anybody know where Huntington Beach State Park, Merle's Inlet? The bride and groom did not wear the traditional dress and tux or whatever. They were in hockey jerseys. So the only thing I could match up, but I had a sweater kind of like this. I wore that and looked like we were the USA hockey team out there. And then back over to Monk's Corner. And just an absolutely beautiful wedding, about 200 people there. I told the lady, I said, ma'am, I did over 200 weddings last year. This is the most beautiful decoration of a reception that I've seen. She said, will you write me a review? I said, yes, I will. So all the one things that Valentine's Day, one of the things if you're single or if you're looking around, you try to start conversations. So let me help you out a little bit. I got a couple of these. Guys told the girls, you look like the internet, maybe the World Wide Web, because I really feel like we have a connection. That one may not work. I don't know. All right, let's try another one. More spiritual minded here. Let's say I'm reading through the Bible. I came to the book of Numbers and realized I don't have yours. Is that better? A little better, a little spiritual too. So, and you always have the dad jokes on Valentine's. Which flower gets the most kisses on Valentine's Day, or which flower gets you the most kisses? Anybody know the answer to that one? Tulips. Yeah, people are writing these down, Jason. This is good. I did hear about two radios that got married. The ceremony was so-so, but the reception was amazing. One more. Everybody claps. Steve, you haven't... Debbie's clapping. That's even worse. Do not, warning, this is a warning, do not fall in love with a pastry chef. Do not. There's a good chance they'll desert you. I thought that was decent. All right. Five words to rock your world. Here we go. This first word is found in the scriptures between 60 and 80,000 times. A very simple little word, the, or the. You know, the difference, if you're singing a song, many times it'll mess you up, because if it's a vowel sound afterwards, you sing the. If it's a consonant, you sing the. And if you don't know the next word, it'll mess you up. You can sing the, and then anyway, not like I've ever done this. Let's look at the definition of the word the, or the. A definite article that designates a particular person, place, or thing, as opposed to an indefinite article that is general in its designation of a person, place, or thing. An article is the title of that if you're an English major, okay? Any English major. Nobody's going to admit it. I majored in English and psychology. I'm not sure why. Think about this, though, as opposed to the word a and the, or the. For instance, yesterday the sun and the moon, watching the sun rise. If you were to say, hey, there's a total eclipse of a sun. No, you would say of the sun or the sun. Or the moon. We've landed on a moon. No, we landed on the moon. In 1969, anybody around for that? Anybody see it on TV? Yeah. It was black and white, very. It was tough to get the cameras up there ahead of time. Black and white. Or if you go out to Folly Beach, you look out over the ocean, you say, there is an Atlantic Ocean. No, it's the Atlantic Ocean. Or the edge of America. There's an edge of America. It's the edge of America. Or call my wife, say, I'm on a connector. No, you don't say a connector. You're on the connector. In James Island, there's only the connector. Yorktown. Stevie's over there working in the ticket office. You don't say, hey, there's a fireworks display at a Yorktown. It's the Yorktown. Go on down. There are, do you realize this? I know you do. There's 7 regional University of South Carolina campuses. I wish I could tell you all of them. I know there's Sumter and Beaufort and Lancaster, all over the place. But there's only one that's the University of South Carolina in Columbia. Let's get a couple more. I drive an old car. My dad had a Grand Marquis Mercury. I tell my wife, I'm going to go find and drive a Mercury. No, I'm driving the Mercury. It's out in the driveway. Or Kevin works at the hospital over in Mount Pleasant. If he tells Libby, I'm going to go to a hospital, he might go to several, but he's really going to the hospital where he works. And by the way, keep them in your prayers. Tomorrow will be the funeral of Libby's father downtown at First Baptist at 11. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Or Jason says, hey, Amy, I'm going to drop by a church. That doesn't mean anything. He says, I'm going to drop by the church right here. But you take it a step further. Say, we worship first and last, the one and only, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not a King of Kings and Lord of the specific, exact, definite, singular, the Lord. Look at these verses in Exodus. You shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. It's not general. It's the specific. Exodus chapter 20, first of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And then John 14:6, one of the great verses that Jesus told his disciples. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then at the cross, Matthew 20, realized that one of those Roman soldiers very likely became a follower of Jesus right there. Look what he said. At the cross, he looked up and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Wow. Who knows? We might meet that fellow in heaven. The Son of God. The key word. Is Jesus the in your life or just a? I hope he's the Lord of your life. Let's look at the second word. This word appears in the Bible. You look at different translations. I think in the King James Version, it's in the Bible 7,946 times. You do different searches, you find different numbers. It's the word Lord. We don't use that word a whole lot today outside of the church. It's just a word, maybe landlord might use it then. What does it mean? Here's the definition. One having power and authority over others, boss, ruler, king, or master. A couple verses that talk about this. Exodus chapter 3. Love the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That is the Lord God. He doesn't say a God, it's the Lord. And then in Exodus 20, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Sounds familiar. I remember a wedding one of my favorite stories in a wedding, and I wish I had a folder here to do this, but we were doing the vows, and a lot of folks do the repeated vows. Like, y'all did the repeated vows, right? So, I, Jason, take you, Amy. Take you, Amy. You know, and there we go. Sometimes they want to add in some personal vows also. So after that, I would say, now, Jason, would you like to share some personal words? All right. We did that. The groom's name was Preston, and he came down to the front. He did the repeated vows. And then he says, I said, Preston, as I stepped back, put my folder down, I know you have some personal words to share with Megan. And he says, I'm going to pass on that, boss. So I'm not real happy at that, Mom. I'm pulling my folder back out. And, not real nice thoughts about Preston at that moment. However, and I like the word boss. That's what the word Lord means, boss. I'm not sure if he meant me or Megan. Maybe God, I don't know. But I found out when Megan got to the front, the bride, she whispered to him and said, I'm too nervous to do the personal vows. He did a very loving thing and took that away. All right? So, Matt, if you say, and I'm doing Matt and Tanner's wedding here in a few weeks, and Tyler over here as well. Sorry to embarrass you guys, but we got some weddings coming up. If anybody says that in a wedding, I know you heard this sermon. And I'm going to pass on that, boss. So the word boss, it really jumps out at you, doesn't it? What does it mean? When I say this, Lord is boss. Is Jesus boss of your life? Is he the ruler of your life? Is he the king and master of your life? You know how you can find out? Pull out your calendar and your bank account. Those two things will tell you who's in charge. Particularly a calendar. I mean, you go right around it, all those things. I'll never forget, who's in charge of your life. We asked the youth group one day. We're going to do a little outing. We got in our church bus, and I'll tell you what, folks. Church buses back in the day were not what they are now. We had people almost fall out of the bus. We had this. Rachel, it wasn't even as, this was much better than the one that we were in taking your group around. It was better than one I started with. It was purple. And so we're on this bus, and we said, all right, we're going to demonstrate how some people run their life. So what happened was we would flip a coin every time we came to a stoplight or a stop sign or a new turn. We would flip a coin. We'd say, if it's heads, we go left. If it's tails, we go right. So we did it twice. Once we end up at Taco Bell. The next time we ended up in a dump. It was a gravel pit dump. And then we talked about who runs your life. Who controls which way you go in life? Do you allow God to do that? That's what it means to be Lord. So all of these things, who is truly in charge? Look at this verse, and this is the important word here is Lord, because in Romans 10 it says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The key element, it's not just to say, hey, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again, but I want him to be Lord of my life, then you're saved. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. The Lord. The Lord. That's the key. Somebody, you talk to somebody and they say, hey, I really want to become a Christian. What do I need to do? Well, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on a cross, rose again, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and with your life, you're saved. That's it. You don't have any magical words. Number three, we're ready. Moving along, Steve. Third word, here it is. The Lord is. That's a big word. This word is in the King James Version, a variation of it. Well, probably just the word is. 6,442 times. By the way, in the entire Bible, there's like 730 or 40,000 words. So you're giving you a little percentage here. Is a word that we use constantly. We may not think much about it. It's the definition here is the present tense, third person, singular of the word be. To be or not to be, as Hamlet would say. To exist presently. Is. This podium is. It exists. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Let's see. There's a pod out here in the corner on this side. Actually, I parked behind it this morning. All right? Rachel, I hope that didn't violate any rules. But I'm parked behind that pod. It is now loaded with almost 200 new church chairs that'll be put in here. There's a few back in this room over here. But you know what? It is there. There's no doubt about it. We don't, is that really true? Is that really exist? No, we don't even worry about it. It is. There's a new playground. It almost knocked the fence down one day. That's another story. I wasn't playing on the playground. I was, something different. Dan here on the front row does our team trivia. By the way, if you want to come on Tuesday nights over at Zeppelin or Thursday nights at Garage 75, Sandy, your team won second place, and there was another team there that got third, and who got first, Dan? Yeah, they did. No, I did. You mean, so we had three teams from our church. All three teams scored first, second, and third. That's never happened, has it? We only had three teams, yes. Why, you blew my story, man. That's... Where were we? So I say to Dan, is there trivia night tonight? Yes, there is. And then you say, but John, you're talking about God. I don't see God. I don't see Jesus. How do I know he exists? He is. I don't see him. Well, then you can ask some questions. Do you see your brain? Not unless you're a doctor. Do you see the wind? Do you see love? Do you see your heart? I had a girl at a wedding up in the upstate, asked her what she did. She's in New York City. She does ultrasounds of people's hearts, looks at their heart. And I said, well, we do that every Sunday at church. Think about that one a minute. We ought to be looking at our heart when we come to worship. We ought to be looking at our heart when we take communion. Looking in our heart, say, what's there? Well, how can we improve? Do you see all those things you don't? I was telling my friends here in the back, I was in Atlanta. I told the story about having in our small group, about getting a black eye in downtown Atlanta. And you lived there a while, didn't you, Jason? Did you ever get a black eye? No. So I gave them four choices. I said, there's one of these four ways I got the black eye. I said, one, I was either hit by an angry fan. Two, fell out of an elevator. Number, that was B or two. Number three, leaned over at the table and hit a tall cup and hit me right in the eye. Or number four got hit by a block of ice. So now think about those four, you know, angry fan, elevator falling out, cup on the table, block of ice. All right, now I want you to vote. How many think it was the angry fan? Nobody. Well, we got one. Gloria, two of you. How many think I fell out of an elevator and did that? Steve, thank you. We're voting all over the place. We only have three votes so far. This is good. How many think I leaned over and hit a cup on a table and blackened my eye? Oh, there you go. That's a pretty good number. How many think I got hit by a block of ice? The people in my small group are cheating. Man, at the National Youth Workers Convention, they came in and threw fudgesicles to us from all around the room. And I'm a baseball player. I can't catch this. You know, here comes one flying in. I go, I can catch this. The guy right in front of me tips it and hits me right in the eye. Block of ice in the eye. Breaks my glasses. There's a little bit of blood. But the good news is the fudgesicle lands in my lap. Now, I'm surrounded by compassionate youth workers, very nice people, and somebody grabbed that fudgesicle right out of my lap. I didn't even get a fudgesicle. I got a black eye. But here's the message. You say, well, John, what does this have to do with what we're talking about? Here's what it has to do about. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it says this. And when I came to, after all that processing what just happened, I looked up at the screen with barely looking through some glass. I think my glasses, I was squinting. And the verse said this, things that are unseen are more important than the things that are seen. Wow. Because I had to go get some new glasses so I could see. But what was really happening was even more important. The unseen things of this world last forever. The things that we see are temporary. Pretty good stuff. All right? You see some great things when you come to church in the morning. All right? This morning, Tim and I, let's see, it was Jay and I. We were out there greeting folks. Kyle walks in right over here. He and his little son had the exact same outfit. And I said, I loved it. But I got bad news, Kyle. That's temporary. He's going to grow up one day. He may have to wear that shirt. Yeah. But you know what? That's true. The unseen things of this world are the things that are so important. They exist. And then we look at this verse that says when Moses looked at, got the word from God, and he said, I got to tell them a name. I'm going to go back from that burning bush, and I've got to report back to the Israelites. They're going to say, what's his name? And he says this in Exodus chapter 3, I am who I am. The word is. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. He is. He is. And Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said. My mom used to trick us and said, you know, the Bible says there is no God. I said, really? Yeah, but it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Be careful after you pick verses out, right? And then we think the great verse or the great saying that said, if there is no God, nothing matters. But if there is a God, nothing else matters. Great quote. Then this last one here in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, the same Jesus they worshiped, we worship here today. Amazing. The Lord is. I hope you've settled that in your heart. You know that. He is. And you can, if things happen, miracles happen all around us, write them down. Write things down because Satan wants to just erase all those things from your memory. But remember the things that God does. Number four, the fourth word, the Lord is my. Now, there's a cool word, mine. Anybody, you know, you get those Valentines. Now, here's what's funny. When you're in elementary school, I know everybody's in the back today, but You get 30 Valentines, and every one of them says, "Be mine." Now, you got to be 30 people's Valentine. You know, that's different. Hopefully, you get a little older, you become that individual's, the word mine. Here's what it says. The word mine, definition, belonging to or associated with the speaker of or relating to me or myself, especially as the possessor. That's mine. My son, why in the world would a pastor who's preaching the next day be up at 1 a.m. in the morning watching something on a computer? Because my son is caddying in Australia. That's why you do that, my son. Why would I travel over in the morning early and fight that John's Island traffic to go over to a house on Whitney Lake to see my grandson? Or, and my daughter-in-law there, because my son's in Australia, trying to help him out, get the dogs walked and all that kind of thing. The word my becomes so important. God is saying to all of us that we are his. I'll be going to the funeral tomorrow. You know, my dad passed away last March, and I walked out in that church up in Kentucky, 10 hours away from here, and I looked around, and there was Kevin and Libby and Jason. They'd driven, I might get emotional here. Whew. They drove all the way up there. They knew how special it was with my dad when he passed away. So I'll be there tomorrow. You better believe that. Libby's dad, great guy. I'm sure you guys know. 6 kids, 23 or so grandkids and great-grandkids. Just a great, great person. But that's, Libby said, that's my dad. That's my dad. All of these words, my, you look around, that's my fiance, that's my girlfriend, that's my husband, that's my children, that's my grandchildren. As you celebrate the word my, look what God says in Psalm 56. You keep track, David's talking to God and says, you keep track of all of my sorrows. You've collected my tears in your bottle and you've recorded each one in your book. God knows every tear that you cry. He records them because you are his. Mine. God is saying to all of us, you are mine. The Lord is mine. You look around this room. You can go right around here. You say, hey, you're God's. You belong to God. Then it says in Isaiah 43, thus says the Lord who created you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. Wow. The God of the universe. You know, anybody have photos of kids, grandkids, great on your refrigerator? You got those photos. Alan, I know you got some with dinosaurs fighting or something, don't you, over there? No? Okay. That was Susan, I guess. But those, imagine God's refrigerator. Got your picture on it. He opens up, we open up our wallet. Now we hold up our phone. I got some photos here. This is my kids, my dog. You got to see the dog, my church, the band. I'm the band up here. God saying, hey, I want to show you my child. Bragging about you. Isn't that cool? He loves you that much. We're his. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you, O my people, with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself, to me. In John chapter 20, Thomas, if you remember the disciple who doubted, he said, I'm not going to believe that he's resurrected till I see the nail prints in his hand and the spear scar in his side. And Jesus shows up, and he falls to his knees. And look what he says. My Lord and my God. Wow. Didn't even have to see the scars. He knew. He's alive. Don't ever be afraid, ashamed, or intimidated, or to avoid saying those same words that Jesus is my Lord. He's my God. You can say it. He's my Lord and he's my God. Fifth word, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd, We don't use that a whole lot. A person who tends sheep. Guess what? We're the sheep. God's taking care of us. Sandy read this verse earlier, John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you realize when Jesus was on the cross, you can look up there and say, that's my Jesus. We had a speaker in Tennessee, big brawny football player, I think. And when he said that word, he said, that's my Jesus. He broke down and just began to weep. He realized this is so powerful that Jesus died on that cross. If you were the only person who ever lived, he still would die for you. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That shepherd is out there leading, protecting, watching over us. And I tell you what, we need that. Now, there are times when you actually help and lead others. That's important. You don't ever want to point the finger and say, I'm through leading anybody. No, God's always using you as an example to lead others, to invite people, to share with them, to show them the way, just like a shepherd would do it. And then this last passage, this really kind of jumps out and grabs us. Jesus tells a story of a man that had 100 sheep. I don't know how they counted them. One of them wanders away. What will he do? He leaves the 99 on the hill and goes out and searches for that one that is lost. And when he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that did not wander away. Sometimes you think, man, I'm the one person that God probably couldn't reach. That may be the one that they're having a party in heaven when that person comes to him. When you came to him, there was a party in heaven. Today you might need to say that. I need to give my life to Jesus, that say that the Lord is my shepherd. Finish it out with this. I want to give you a challenge. These 5 words. Write them down. Put them in the mirror in your bathroom. Wherever you need to do it, write them on your hand. I don't know. Put them in your phone. Put it on your screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll challenge you this week. First thing in the morning, say, the Lord is my shepherd. Last thing at night, the Lord is my shepherd. Before you eat, the Lord is my shepherd. While you're brushing your teeth, for those who do that, the Lord is my shepherd. On good days and bad days, say it, the Lord is my shepherd. When you're alone or in a crowd, the Lord is my shepherd. When you get a good report from the doctor, say it. If you get a bad report, still say it, the Lord is my shepherd. When the boss is kind and encouraging, say it. If he's or she is critical and dismissive, still say it. The Lord is my shepherd. Whether you're at a wedding or a funeral, say, the Lord is my shepherd. All day, all night, wherever we go, say it out loud, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I want us to say it all together one time, and then we'll pray. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, and I hope you mean that with all your heart. Let's pray. Father, today a lot of different things going on in our hearts and our lives. Confusion sometimes, difficulties. Some of us are having a great time right now. There's great joy in our lives. I mentioned many going through right now having great celebrations and weddings and birthdays and Valentine's, but also people that are hurting. And Lord, in every one of those situations, remind us that you are our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You can say that. We can all say that with confidence. And we thank you for that. Help us every day to say it first thing in the morning, last thing at night. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else. He's my shepherd. Lord, we love you. We thank you now and take this time of commitment. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, what a What a glorious day it is. Any day that we get to wake up and spend the day with you, Lord, and the people we love, there's just nothing bad about that. Lord, I pray that as we leave and go through this week, that we keep you on our mind. And no matter what we're going through, we can always say with complete confidence that, Lord, you are my shepherd. I pray that you bless us with health throughout this week, and just let us come back and do it all again next Sunday. Lord, we love you, and we ask all this in your precious name. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next time.